All right, welcome to the Train Smart podcast of VeloX Train Group. We got a couple special guests today. We got Max, our co-host. We've got a very familiar voice. We've got Jamie here from Arizona. And we've got a new voice on the podcast today. This is Kyle McNabb. Maybe everyone go around the group here. Well, not Max, because everyone's used to you. But everyone go around the group here and... what's your name, where you're from, and basically what you're all about? Kyle?
Kyle, go ahead.
I was going to wait Jamie out. My name's Kyle. I'm from Denver. I do the police training instructor thing there, and then I also do a lot of practical shooting, USPSA stuff. I pop up on Joel's podcast from time to time, and occasionally do a little stuff with PSTG over there.
Cool. Jamie?
And yep, Jamie. I am essentially like Kyle's counterpart down here at the agency in Arizona. And that's kind of what I do. Mostly we're training recruits.
Yep. All right. Well, the three of us, me, Jamie, and Kyle here, were texting the other day. It was like back and forth. Jamie had what I thought to be a pretty interesting subject. And so, Jamie, we'll let you just take it away here and kind of see where this thing goes.
So it's important to preface. I have no idea what the fuck we're going to be talking about.
You got a little bit of lead in was before we hit record. We're just picking up where we left off.
Okay, good.
Talking about F1 racing.
Good. Yeah. All right. F1 racing and Diddy parties. All right.
So
and go.
Send it.
I like though that Max, you haven't heard this, right? So because that you know you have like an unbiased like you haven't thought about this stuff, so we can get.
But I will have an opinion.
Yes, and I like it. So I think I need to preface this with this information. And this thought process started from a guy, a dear friend of mine that I consider to be far smarter than me. So I'll give him credit for credit.
I appreciate it.
My friend Travis. Travis, not Nicholas. Whenever he graces me with his presence at a range, he's always got interesting questions to ask me, right? And he asked me this one question. One of the first questions, and I think we talked about it before, Nick, is like, what's the difference? And I think we set this foundation, the difference between like skill and talent, right? So, because people are like, oh, that guy's really talented. And so, like, so we're all speaking the same language in this conversation. I think we have to, in my definition, like, this is what I'm talking about, skill and talent. When I say somebody has a skill, what I say is they can perform that thing, that technique, nearly without fail, right? So whatever it may be, not like most times, not like sometimes, not like a lot of times, but nearly without fail, you would say that person is skilled with that technique.
Right? You mean like in the isolation of skills?
Yes. Yes, it's an isolation of a technique, right? And you could do that thing without fail, nearly without fail. You would say you are skilled, right? And then talent is the ability to use that skill, and discipline is the avenue that makes that happen, right? So as long as we're talking, like, I think we need to talk about, at least understand what I say when I mean when I say skill, right? So, like, I have, and I talked to you, Nick, I think I started this off with like I've gotten questions. You guys have probably gotten questions like, hey, what drill would I do to get better at X?
Yeah.
And immediately I'm like, you are on the wrong path. Because I think we have to break things down into three separate categories. Exercise, a drill, and then a test, right? So when I say exercise, like Webster has a dictionary, but when I'm talking about exercise, I'm talking about it in the context of it's the isolation and repetition of an individual technique in order to develop that technique into skill. Drill is a series of or multiple skills choreographed together to perform a task. Let's say the El Prez, right? The El Prez is a drill. There's a bunch of skills within there. There's target transitions, there's reloads, there's, you know, draw, like a lot of stuff, visual stuff. Like those are all individual skills that need to be brought together to complete that drill. And then a test, right? For on the administrative side, for law enforcement, the administrative side, a test is your yearly qual. On the practical side, it's an officer involved shooting. On the civilian side, like for us in the gamer side of it, the test is the stage, right? So it would be just like, hey, is your yearly qual. On the practical side, it's an officer involved shooting. On the civilian side, like for us in the gamer side of it, the test is the stage, right? So it would be just like, hey, like what stage should I run to get good at stages? That's what I hear when I hear, what drill should I do to get better at X? What stage? Is like, no, the stage is made up of a number of different things, right? So that, like, I'm almost like on a quest to like remove drill from the lexicon of shooting, like communication, talk, right? Like I would categorize doubles into an exercise. Like it's an exercise.
Yeah, you're trying to pull out a specific skill set from that.
Yeah, I'm trying to like, what I'm trying to do is like, if just to simplify it, like my structure, right? My structure, like what we want to do when we fire the gun, there's only two ways we miss a target. Plain and simple. One, you never created alignment to begin with. Fair?
Sure.
And then two, you did something to disrupt alignment before the bullet left the barrel. Like it's no more simple than that. Right. So, and structure, whether it be grip, stance, all that stuff together, structure helps you automate the alignment process. I fire the gun and automatically alignment happens again. The dot goes right back to the spot I was looking. It returns with the same speed and intensity at which it left. Bam, it's right back to where I'm looking. Right. So that would say I'm automating the alignment process. So like doubles helps. It's an exercise with helping to understand automation of the alignment process and how do I achieve it? Fair?
Mm-hmm. Fair.
Yeah. I like what you're putting down so far. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? Now, Max, here you go. I want to put you on the spot because you haven't heard this before.
So I hadn't ever thought about it as granular as you just broke it down. I think I certainly have experienced the pervasiveness of the drill culture that's out there. You know, at a very high level, there's a lot of, you know, print this drill from my website, you know, go out and do this thing to prove that you're a, you know, good shooter. And I mean, I did it. I mean, back in the day before I knew what I was doing, you know, it was, and I think, I don't remember, we had a guest on recently that was talking about it, but like, you know, I wanted to know, hey, how do I stack up? Printed somebody's drill online, did it, and, you know, scored well and went, all right, I'm good at this. But I think there's a lot of chasing that and then saying, I scored such and such on this guy's drill. I'm that good. And I think your point is fair that may not be measuring what you think it's measuring, and it may not be improving what you think it's improving. But getting into the like granular part of it, where it's how much of this is skill and how much of this is talent and how much are you breaking this down, I think is interesting.
So if I had to put it like, let's transfer this stuff over to physical fitness, right? So, a friend of mine, Scott Howell, you know, super fitness guy, right? So if it's like, let's just say I had a physical fitness test, and that physical fitness test was, I'm going to put all my police gear on. I'm going to run 100 meters. I'm going to do pull-ups, like two pull-ups, and I'm going to jump a wall, right? In order to train for that, what I'm not going to do is put on all my shit, run 100 meters, do two pull-ups, and jump over a wall. Sure. Go back to the start line, run 100 meters, do two pull-ups, jump over. Sure. I'm going to do explosive box jumps. I'm going to do stuff to shoulder work. I'm going to do all these exercises to complete that drill. And I do think drills obviously have a place, right? Because it's a great baseline assessment to kind of like, hey, where do I stand? And if you're paying attention with what's going on, in my mind, the way I conceptualize it and think about it is like, okay, it's going to identify these deficiencies that I can work in these particular little exercises, right? If I said, are you guys familiar with like the 15 and 10 drill?
Mm-hmm.
So like, hey, all right, I want you to be really, really, really good at the 15 and 10 drill. Like my partner Morgan, he just threw down like a, I don't know, 680 or today on something like that. Like, and he was not happy with it by the mean, but
of course he did.
But like, if I told you, hey, you're going to be really, really good with that, but you're never allowed to shoot it. So from a training standpoint, like, how would I break that down to the individual techniques that I need to develop into skill that I can perform in this drill to be good at? Right. They think like the community, the training culture has to do that. I think what's lacking is the introspective on a lot of people in order to analyze that stuff and break it down and parse out the individual techniques that are needed to get really good at.
1,000%. At the end of every class, I tell people, like, I have a whole spiel that I go through, but like, one of the things I typically tell people is like, hey, the majority of people, the thing that they miss in their training is actually observing what happens, right? When you go out and shoot, like, actually observe what happens. This is going to key you into, you know, things that you're doing. If you're observing enough, you know, you could start applying cause and effect. This shows you what you need to go do in dry fire, what you need to hammer on. And I think that would be basically like what you would refer to, Jamie, as like an exercise, right? Like, you put all of these exercises together, but this requires you to pay attention. And I think I agree with you. Like, I see people all the time, like, I get asked several times a week, hey man, what drill should I go do? Or hey man, what should I do in dry fire? And it's always like, man, I'm not trying to be a turd, but I have no clue, right? I haven't seen you shoot. I don't know what you need to work on. Like, what should you be paying attention to? And I think for the longest time, you know, the shooting culture, so to speak, like, that's what everyone is focused on. And I think you can get good to a certain point doing that. However, it's like the bucket of bullets mentality, instead of like, hey, let me take 200-300 rounds and pay very close attention to each round that I fire out of the gun. Like, well, there's one really smart way of training and one that's just kind of not very smart, for lack of a better term.
And I think if you spend all your time chasing drills, and this is, I guess, my problem with drill culture, you spend all your time chasing drills. Yeah, you may be able to do that given drill on the spot any given day and do really well at it. But being able to do a drill doesn't mean you can do, if someone shows you a new stage that, you know, may not have anything to do with the drill that you just shot. It has a lot of the same skills, to your point. It's a lot of the same skills, but it's not the same application of the skills. You're kind of going to be screwed unless you understand what skills it was that got you to be successful at that particular drill. If you're just rote memorization of that drill, you don't understand what skills it took to get you there. You may not be able to apply it. And to be fair, that doesn't come for free. Like, and to Nick's point, I mean, understanding how to diagnose this stuff, like, you don't get it for free. Like, it doesn't come easy to understand how to diagnose your own shooting. So I feel like, I mean, I don't want to minimize any of that, but I do think, I mean, it, like, just because you can do X drill doesn't mean you're going to be able to shoot a stage well.
Kyle, where do you think that the quote unquote like drill culture came from?
Where did it come from? I mean, mm-hmm. guys looking for microwave answers in a crockpot world. I mean,
oh, I'm writing that shit down.
Yeah.
That was baller.
I mean, it's just, it's guys not like, you know, if you talk to anybody,
that down.
if you look at anybody who's truly good, and can explain shooting at like with a deep pool of knowledge, like that comes from a level of personal discovery. Like Max is saying, it doesn't come for free. You can't just go and like rep out a drill, or like, hey bro, what are your standards, and go shoot those and be like, yep, yeah, okay, I got your standards. Like, okay, I'm good. It, like, unless you're just regurgitating what someone else has told you or what you've heard in a YouTube video or on Instagram or whatever, you're not gonna understand it at a deep level unless you've broken it down, taken it to the woodshed, figured some shit out on your own, and put it back together. So, I mean, and that doesn't come quickly. And that doesn't come from going, hey, man, what drill should I do? Because I want to get better at X. That's just not how that works. Having said that, though, I kind of have a different definition, and I view like exercise, drill, and test it a little differently than Jamie just talked about.
Yes, let's hear it.
So the way I see it, an exercise is something that you do to experience something. You know, we talk about, like Ben and Joel talk about, like awareness exercises or awareness drills. It's not something you do a ton of. It's something that you do to grasp a concept or play around with an idea a little bit. Then once you have like what you're looking for, you might move that over to a drill. And a drill for me is that's the work. That's where you're going to go and you're going to rep things. And not just rote memorization, but not just like repping things out like push-ups, but you still have to pay attention. You've got to be aware of what's going on. Like you mentioned, Nick, you're looking for cause and effect, right? What am I seeing, feeling, and experiencing? And how does that relate to what the outcome is on the target? How do I put those together in order to make changes to the things that I don't like? And that's what happens in drills. And a drill could be something small like doubles, or it could be something much bigger with a series of skills strung together. That's how I see it. And then a test is what you would do in order to evaluate periodically, are you making improvements?
What would be a good example of a test?
So, well, here's why I think honestly, it's really just what you are intending to do with it, because I could say a build drill fits all three of those. And here's why. So let's say I want to know, how do I stack up on a build drill? There's a standard. It's been around for forever. Everybody shot it. Everybody knows what their times are. So I can walk up cold, set a target at 7 yards, put on the timer, get myself ready, but I'm not warmed up, like first runs of the day. And I rip that gun out of the holster and I go to work. I shoot, burn 6 rounds into that target. There's my hit. There's my time. That's what I could do today. And then I can do some work. I can drill different things. I can drill on my draw. I can drill on my grip. I can drill doubles. I can drill a lot of other things, my vision piece. And I can come and revisit that test again in 3 months and see if I've gotten faster and better. And that's where it fits as a test. I also think build drills fit as an exercise or an experience, because maybe you've got somebody who doesn't know what it's like to shoot 15, 16 splits. They've never shot a sub-2 build drill. And you're like, all right, homie, here's the deal. Today, you're going to feel what it feels like to go 150 miles an hour. I don't care what the hits on the target are. You're going to make the time. You are going to experience what 150 miles an hour looks like, so you know how to shoot that pace. So when the beep goes off, you're going to rip the gun out of the target and you are going to shoot as fast as you can, regardless of where the hits are, because I want you to know what that feels like. So now we have an exercise. You are experiencing what the speed feels like. And then you could sit there and you could rep the build drill as a drill for grip, draw. Is it the most efficient way to work on those techniques? Probably not, but it could be done that way. So I think in a lot of cases, you have things that might fit in all three categories, depending on how you utilize them.
I agree with all that.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I definitely agree with all that. It sounds like we are like one tier off of each other, right? Right. So like, I throw in that test as like, that's something for score that matters, right? I, like using drills to judge baseline stuff. Like I'm like, yeah, we're going to step out here and we're going to, you know, do a cold bill drill just to see where I stand. Right. But like, for me, as a test, there's no merit. There's nothing that's going to be come from that as a result of poor performance. That's what I look at it. What I like about like all these things, right? And we talk about human performance, like, yeah, you could rep that drill over and over and over and over and over and over. And what they talk about is like, there is transference, right? There's transference in that activity. Like I could run 100 meters and do pull-ups and jump over, you know, a wall. There is some transference to other muscular endurance stuff, right? But like you said, is it the most efficient way to get there? Like if you're looking at efficiency, like that's probably not the most efficient way to get to be able to perform that thing very effectively quickly, right? There's always transference. Like I can work on grip standing at 25 yards shooting slow fire groups on a B8. I could also focus like where my attention is if I'm doing El Prez or if I'm doing designated target. Like it depends on where the attention and focus is during that particular thing that you're doing, right? And like for me, like you said, I don't care where the hits are, like just observing what's happening. Like I think some of the biggest gains happen in that realm. Where, like,
the exploratory type of realm.
Yeah, the exploratory. Yeah. When I talked to you about this, Joel or Nick, I was like, hey, like, there again, two ways we missed, didn't create alignment, or we screwed up alignment. Then there's only two ways to shoot. You can either shoot in control or out of control. The level at which you are in control or out of control can absolutely vary. Like, Joel talks about, like, you shoot like an absolute maniac. Right? You are way out of control. But a lot of people, unless they really understand exactly where that line is, like this is the line and I'm shooting slow fire B8s. I am way over here. Like at a match, I'm trying to shoot right here. And occasionally I do this and I'm out of control and I throw mics. Right. But training and exercises happen in this realm right here. Not over here, because nothing's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But like that is the exploratory phase.
So I think the question should be then, like, where do you spend the majority of your time? So like for me, if I'm going to go out and train, just as an example, I have my own range at my house. Therefore, I already have like a little tiny stage set up. Like I was shooting on a little tiny stage earlier. It's not that I would recommend everyone going to like, hey, shoot a stage first thing. However, just because it's kind of a pain in the ass to set up. However, like it's already right there. So like it's set up for me. So typically what I'll do just as kind of like a quote unquote test for the beginning of the range day, maybe shoot it 3 to 4 different ways, one time a piece, score it the whole nine, and then try to observe what's happening. And then from there, I could see like, hey, what do I need to work on here? And, you know, It may be a drill or it may be some sort of exercise where I'm trying to explore things. Maybe a good example of that would be like, maybe I wasn't happy with my transitions, right? I wasn't snapping my eyes to the target aggressive enough, things like that. So like, I'm going to work on an exercise, which in my opinion would be like more exploring stuff. So like, maybe I'll go out and explore the speed of snapping my eyes to a target and not really caring about the hits as much as just like focusing on getting my eyes to the target. So like, where would the majority of your training time be? Because for me, I would say probably 75 to 80% is in like that exploratory type of exercise type of phase.
So I agree. Sorry, did I cut somebody off?
No, go for it.
So I agree. Like, I think like going back to where does drill culture come from? Like dudes print a drill off and like down in the bottom corner, it's got the standards for it. Like automatically it's no longer a drill. Now it's a test because you are trying to perform to a standard instead of like, let's just see what happens. let's just try to get better and see what happens. And so you are automatically trying to perform and execute to a level, as opposed to, I just want to see how fast I can go. I want to see how I can make this happen, right? Because I'll tell you, like, in the exploratory phase of stuff, there's been a lot of times where I'm like, I'm just going to throw it down and see what happens. And like, I get down there and I score it, and I was like, that actually went way better than I expected. I did not expect to hold it on the rails as well as I did. And then there's other times it's a dumpster fire and you're like, okay, well, that, and now I know.
More often than not, yeah.
You know, but sometimes you're like, okay, I was actually able to hold that together, so I probably need to push on that more because that's better than I expected. But if you, all you're ever doing is shooting kind of like Jamie was just talking about, you're shooting on the wrong side of control, like the very, very, you know, you're trying to get a good score, then you never really find out where you can go. You don't know where your in and out of control line is. You're never exploring there. So you're never breaking any new ground because you're not uncomfortable. So I would say, yeah, a lot of your time needs to be spent in that exploratory area. So you're like, all right, where's that line at for whatever skill I want to work on? And then you dial that down and you drill right on that gray area to try to move the needle.
I think, Kyle, the way you laid it out earlier, where like, I think there are a lot of things that can be a test drill. I think I try and view this through the eyes of a buddy of mine who's truly like just now learning how to shoot a pistol. And, you know, his skill level, it would be impossible for him to determine what is what. But for the four of us, like we can, to your point, we can shoot a bill drill and understand what's happening. I mean, shit, I was shooting doubles with a rifle yesterday. At 50 yards, it started to fall apart. And instead of texting, you know, instead of like, well, I'm just not meeting, I need to slow down, I'm texting Nick, you know, about pressures on the rifle, right? Like pretty granular stuff. Because we know when something goes to shit, generally what it was that went to shit, right? You know, my buddy who's learning, he has no idea. He'd shoot rifle doubles at 50 and it would be off the target and he'd be like, what the fuck is happening? Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have the ability to determine when something is a test, when something is a drill. So I think the culture that's been built around, to your point again, Kyle, that's been built around meet this time and you're a good shooter, makes people miss everything that has to go in to meeting that time, which I think kind of gets back to like, where do we spend our time? If we could get everyone to spend time focusing on building skills, that'd be great. But I don't think, and maybe this is defeatist of me, I don't think a lot of shooters are capable of understanding what skills they actually need to meet a test and meet a time.
So you said that they don't have the skills, and I don't disagree with you. I think... So there's a lot of interesting things there, like in the exploratory phase, right? I think a lot of people sometimes they're gonna assign judgment to what they did, and that's like the wrong time to do that.
Yeah,
right? Like
we're by not judgment, you mean like this was good, bad. This was bad.
I see it all the time, dude. I saw a dude a couple days ago in a class. Did something like faster than he's ever done before. And he's like, but I shot a Charlie. And I'm like, dude, why are you punishing yourself like that? That was like 2 seconds faster than what you just did.
Yeah. Like if in that exploratory phase, I'm not assigning judgment. And in that skill building, a lot of people, what they do is they see. And then they shoot. And then they judgment. And it's like, it's not that. I need to see and observe while shooting. It's continuous. They are both interconnected. Like this is a crock pot mentality, right? You can't see and then shoot and expect stuff. And then like, there's no assignment of judgment, because as soon as you start assigning judgment to this, like to quote my friend, Travis, like you get your mind goes down into some place and he calls it Uncle Touchy's Puzzle Palace.
Right? Jesus Christ.
Like you're down in Uncle Touchy's Puzzle Basement. Nothing good ever comes out of being in that mindset in Uncle Touchy's Puzzle Basement. period. It doesn't happen, right? Like, just don't ever go down there. You're never. Just sitting here observing what's happening.
I don't know that I want to observe Uncle Touchy's puzzle basement either. But.
Right? We're just observing what's happening. This is just an exercise to see what's happening. Just like Kyle was saying, we're just going to, all I want you to do is just know what it feels like to shoot this.
Yeah. I mean, I think about Nick, even the kind of journey that we've had the last, I don't know, 10 years, you know, going from, you know, even in the last 5 years, talking about calling shots, right? I mean, we were talking about calling shots 5 years ago and talking about like watching where the dot lifted from. But even then, you and I didn't even understand like what was causing the shot to go where it was going. Yes, we'd gotten past the like shoot and then look at the holes in the paper. We'd gotten to the point where we were watching what was happening to the gun and seeing what was causing the holes in the paper, but we still hadn't gotten to the point where we were diagnosing what it was that was causing the gun to move off there. So it's a journey to get to the point where you can diagnose what are these things. But I think when you start stacking 50,000 things on top of this in a long drill, it makes it way more difficult to diagnose what is happening. So for a new shooter, definitely, I think skill focus is going to net significantly greater gains than going out and shooting long courses of fire.
Yeah, I would 1,000% agree with that. And like,
go ahead, Nick.
Dude, one of the things that we see a lot lately is people shooting 50, 60 round stages, right? And like, you see that on the gram. And so like, everyone wants to go do that. And it's like, do you really need 50 to 60 rounds to figure out if you're screwing something up?
Well, you like, know where that you know where that comes not. From, right?
I do.
And it's like, it drives me crazy when guys are like, they're like, oh, well, he does that. And so like, I need to do that. And it's like, do you know how long he's been shooting? Like that dude's one of the best that's ever been with a pistol in the world. Like what got him where he is? What he's doing is not relevant to anyone else on this planet, basically. It's like looking at Mr. Olympia and being like, what's his workout? That's what I need to do. Like, no. What got him there isn't what he's doing now, and it has fuck all to do with what you're doing, what you need to do at all.
Yeah,
like we're not even having the same conversation, right? So yeah, when I hear guys talking about the 50, 60 round drills, at a certain point, I think it might have relevance for some guys. But yeah, when you're still trying to build skill, 20 rounds in, when you're like, what happened like 10 rounds ago, and you still got 30 rounds to go, like you're not going to get anything out of that. You're not going to make any connections.
You know what I think about too, like with that subject, is like, I've asked a couple guys like, hey, why do you do that? And they're like, well, it's really hard, right? And I'm like, yep, I get it. It's really hard. A short drill can be really hard too, especially if you're paying close attention to very specific things that you're trying to get really, really good. So like, for me, it's like, I don't know. Conceptually, I understand why, you know, people would do that, but like, it's definitely not on my radar for things to go do.
Well, we've talked about it before. If you can do it and make one mistake in 60 rounds, if you're that good, then great. If it takes you 60 rounds to make a mistake, do it.
That's why Eric shoots that drill.
Exactly.
Because it takes him 50 or 60 rounds to make a mistake.
Exactly. Yes. There are maybe 5 people, maybe, in the world who can do that. If I shoot a 60-round stage, yeah, I made a mistake in the first 10 rounds, and I'm not going to remember what mistake that was by round 60, and I've made another 6 mistakes by then. So good fucking luck diagnosing what all went wrong. You're going to lose it all in the weeds. And again, you know, if you're doing match prep or something like that, and if the skill you're building in that is stage planning or recognizing targets and blending, something like that, I mean, you could come up with a skill where it's relevant. But I think if you're just trying to lump everything into one holistic, good luck.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely applicable skills. Like the one thing that just pops to mind is right, mental endurance. Through a 60-round stage.
Sure.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm gonna test my mental endurance. Because I can tell you, like this past weekend, to your point, Max, like I shot a match this past weekend, the third The third round. Bang, bang, transition. Head of a no shoot. Like, that's a 23-round stage, and the third round, I shot right in the face with no shoot. So it's like, 60-round stage for me. I'm not at the level where I need to test some mental endurance for going through that stuff. And I think you asked earlier, Nick, like, hey, like what is a percentage? And we talked about this on the phone a little bit. And I think it really kind of depends on, like, where are you, right, in your training journey? And like early on, I think there needs to be maybe like 60-40, 60 drill, 40 exercise. This is my terminology, right? So I have a very good understanding of where my deficiency and skill lies. So then I can take that. And then once like experience, skill level starts to build, like then like I need to visit those tests or drills less frequency. Like maybe I'll shoot 15 and 10, or there's another drill that I really like from my buddy Travis. Like I might do that like once a quarter, right? Just to kind of check it out. I really like that. Travis standardized controllability test.
Yeah, so. I agree with that. Maybe once a quarter I do CQB assessment. Once or right. twice. And I'm like, yep, I still don't like getting down the prone that quickly.
That still hurts. That definitely still hurts. Yeah. So like, I think early on in your journey, like you may have to hit those kinds of things to give you real data to understand, quantifiable information to understand where the deficiency lies. Maybe like you just figured out, I don't have the skill to split the gun at 17, 16, 17, 18. I can only split the guns at 25. Well, guess what? Like, do we need to develop in order to perform this thing that you want to do? Is that a skill that needs to be isolated and repped in order to develop that technique? So you can say, I have the skill, I can do that. Like find something to do that and revisit mm-hmm. it later.
Yep. Yeah. I would say paying attention is hands down the most. Like that's the most overlooked thing about all of this stuff. It's like I tell people all the time, like, hey man, the first time you were with a woman is not the same as it is now, right? And it's because like you learn through experience what to do.
Some of us do. Some of us are still beginners, but and I think it misses you know, what to pay attention to.
Like misses the spot.
Do I need to pay attention to like where I'm holding on? Do I need to pay attention to what footwear I'm wearing? Wait, we're talking about shooting, right?
Yeah.
take your ass always down to your shooting. Local trampoline park. Get you some of those grippy socks.
Oh,
you're welcome.
Grippy socks. But I do think, I mean, it's truly, like, yes, pay attention to what is always the first. I mean, that was, mm-hmm. you know, again, my buddy was just learning to what? What am I paying attention to? And that's, like, I hate to, you know, we all teach, and I'm not, you know, saying come take our classes, but that's where taking a class from somebody who knows what they're doing and can tell you what to pay attention to is important. So, you know, we've also talked a lot about, you know, teachers who are good at this and teachers that aren't, and classes that are good and classes that aren't good, and classes that give you just here's this gimmick is one thing, and then classes that'll teach you what to pay attention to, or books or whatever it takes, but somehow finding out how to what to pay attention to, because paying attention only goes as far as, you know, as far as your knowledge level on what it is that you're supposed to be looking for, I think is important.
Yeah.
The paying attention part is the big piece though, because dudes show up to class all the time and you give them all kinds of information. And in the end, there's no substitute for having the experience behind the gun and like feeling that, seeing it, right? I tell my guys all the time, I can tell you what look, or I can tell you what correct like should look like or what it should feel like, but I can't do it for you. I can like show you the path, but you got to walk it. Like you got to go down it, and it's going to be up to you to like figure out where on that path you fit, because everybody's a little bit different. So I can kind of give you the clues, but you got to put it all together yourself. And that comes with time, but not just time, right? Because we can go back to the bucket of bullets analogy. Like I can set down a bucket of 10,000 rounds and have you burn through it. And in the end, it's like, what'd you learn? You're like, I learned my ears hurt and my hands are tired. Like if you're not paying attention to what's happening, you're going to get nothing out of it.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's where like a really good instructor with like a, you know, very detailed eyes, so to speak, comes like that shortens the learning curve greatly. Mm-hmm. Couple examples of this. So like the last time I took, I always host Ben and Joel every year, but I'm shooting in front of Ben the one time and he's like, hey man, stop shooting like a fucking pussy. And I'm like, okay, I know exactly what he means by that. So like, I'm like, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. And like start shooting. And the first thing that popped out at me was like, whoa, like I can cut a lot of time off of this and still get really, really good hits, right? If I just step on the gas a little harder. So it's like from there on out, that was my dry fire training for what, 4 or 5 months after that, right? I was recently doing a private class with a cop. She's a relatively good shooter. Like she can hit stuff, you know, but going fast made her feel uncomfortable. She shot USPSA before, so like she knows what speed and stuff looks like, but doesn't know what it feels like just yet. And so I just had like a regular transition. Well, not regular. There was like a swinger in it and stuff, but like it was a transition drill, right? I forgot the numbers. Maybe she shot it in like 9 seconds. I shot it in like 5. She was like, I don't know how you're shooting it that fast. I said, hey, let's do this. I don't care if you hit anything, but I want you to shoot it at this pace. And I shot it, and I think I shot it in like maybe 7 seconds, right? I took like 2 seconds off her time. Like, hey, it has to be 7 seconds, all of this, right? And she shot it a couple times, and I said, what does it feel like? She's like, that feels insane. So, okay, now I want you to just look at the targets this time, but shoot it the same way. And then it was like, bop, 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 smack the steel, bop, 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 smack the steel. And she looked at me and was like, what the fuck? Like, yes, you get like, as soon as you start paying attention to this stuff, like, oh, I just need to go faster. And then I need to do something like look at the target, right? Look where I want the bullets to go at that pace. But like that exploratory, like, you know, exercise type of phase had to be there first for her to like feel what that speed felt like. And then it was very, very quick in terms of like getting better from there. Like the rest of her times, the rest of the day were better.
The key to that story is you looked at her and you're like, hey, you have permission to fail. Like, right. You can miss.
Exactly.
And I do this all the time with my guys at work, right? Like I'll run them through a class that is specifically about teaching cops how to shoot faster and accurate, because speed is a thing that we don't train for. But then we try to go that fast in real life and it's a shit show when it happens. So it's like, no. We're going to drive 150 miles an hour today so that when you want to drive 100, it's easy. And I'll like one of the drills I bust out is MXAD. Everybody's familiar with it. It's a build drill at 5 yards. You transition to a 12-yard target that's set just offset, 2 more rounds on the 12-yard target, right? So it's a quick up close burner and then 2 rounds immediate transition to 12 yards. And like without fail, the guys will get on that drill. We've been shooting for a while all day. They get on that drill, they get tense, they get slow, and they're bop, 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 you know, on this close target. And I'm like, hey man, like let the gun eat. Just stare a hole in that target and let it run. And they won't let go. And I'm like, all right, cool. I don't give a shit if you hit the target at all. Pull the trigger as fast as you can. Let it go. Just let go. And without fail, every single time, they will burn down like 17 splits on that 5-yard target, and they'll still hit, like it's all A's. And then they transition to the far target and the hits are pretty good at 12 yards, right? But it's like, then they realize like, oh, I'm way more capable than I thought. I just got to let go. And all it is giving them permission to fail.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We use that line exactly all the time. Like you have permission to fail here. Like you have permission to fail. Think about it from you know, a lot of the stuff, like, I know Kyle and I both come at it from a perspective of, like, training cops, right? So we, like, that's where my mind comes from. That's the starting box I'm sitting in. And so, like, they're always like, oh, well, we can't miss. Well, where is it that we can miss?
Exactly.
I can tell you where we do miss. That whole, oh, no, like, here on the range, you know, we got to be perfect. No, you don't. You need to know, you need to fully understand where that line is. And a lot of times, just to your point, Kyle, like we see, just today, we were doing some stuff with the recruits, and we're like on day three. And so we're telling them, hey, we're going to start pushing the pace and pushing you to shoot faster. And one of our recruits shooting very well, never handled a gun before. And we're shooting like a target that has like a 4-inch circle in the center, so they can kind of pick out a spot in that center. And she's still like, bop center, bop center, bop center, bop center. I'm like, yeah, that's cute, but like we all see that. But what you're doing, like you said, you know, you guys heard people say this before. I'm standing in front of the mirror, I'm brushing my hair, and I'm telling myself I'm beautiful. I don't care about that. Like, what I want you to do, and where we kind of push him is like, I want you to go faster. But when I tell you faster, I want you to go 10, 15% faster. I don't want you to go 90% faster. Mm-hmm. All right. Bang, 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 bang. I'm like, where'd those go? Center. Yep. Guess what we're going to do now? She's like, we're going to go faster. Yep. We're going to go 10% faster. Okay. Bang, 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 bang. Okay, what do you think we're going to do now? We're going to go faster. You're damn right we're going to go faster. Like, so they start to understand, like, oh, my capabilities, my structure behind the gun is actually good. I have confidence in this. Like, and then they start, like, we start talking about different behaviors in the gun. Can you tell me, like, I want you to articulate to me exactly, like, if you were going to write it in the report, the behavior of the dot from the last rep we did to the first rep when I walked up here and told you to go faster, like with granular detail. Yeah, I saw it lift. I saw it came back and I was like, okay. And I prepped the trigger. And I'm like, okay, what about the last time? I just saw it kind of streaking right there. Like, and the same, we have the same results. Yep. Okay. Like, your capabilities are there. Like, I need you when we're doing these exercises, I need you on that line of control and out of control. And I don't really care if it goes out of control. Like, as long as you're paying attention, like we tell them all the time, they call me James Dottle, and I've heard it somewhere before, but I like the saying. It's like, hey, a problem well understood is a problem half solved. So care if you miss, but if you can articulate to me exactly what happened, oh yeah. Like the third round into that bill drill, I felt myself kind of breaking down and I started fighting back against the gun. And I saw my dot go whoop, whack. And I'm like, yeah, that's why you shot my steel there in front of my target. But that's okay. We have paint to cover that up. Like, that's all I want from you. Articulate to me exactly what was happening.
Well, it's like while it was happening. The speed inoculation piece is a necessary piece to anything that you want to do at speed, whether it's shooting, racing cars. Like I tell people in classes, right? Maybe you have a curve, you know, on the road, on the way home from your work, your day job every day, right? You're driving home, you go on the same exact curve every day and you take it at 50 miles an hour. Maybe tomorrow you take it at 75. Like, what would that feel like, right? And if you try to conceptualize, like, hey, as I'm going around that curve for the first time at 75 and I'm used to taking it at 50, my like hands tighten up on the steering wheel and you're like, fuck. And you can't really think about anything but like, holy shit, this feels fast. But if you did that every day for maybe a month, right? The following month, 75 might feel okay going around that curve, right? And I think I say that speed inoculation piece is necessary because it opens up bandwidth to be able to pay attention to very specific things, right? If all you ever feel is like, holy fuck, this feels fast, it's like, all right, well, you just need to keep going on that. And then, you know, a good example of this, I remember probably 4 or 5 years ago now. Like I could do it under a 2 second bill, but it was probably like a 1.8 or something like that. And it was because I just could not split the gun like fast enough. Right. And so, man, I probably spent 2,000-3,000 rounds. Just like I go out and I'm like, all right, I'm going to shoot some bill drills and I'm going to like inoculate myself to the way that this shit feels. And I remember thinking like a little of the way through, like, man, I could feel like the grip pressures now. I could see exactly what the dot is doing. Like, and all of this is feedback that you need to further on your training. So like that speed inoculation piece just has to be there because it opens up the bandwidth. And I think that's where that like exercise stuff comes in handy. Like that's to me, that's why like the majority of the time should be spent on exercises.
Well, and it starts to illuminate the things that are wrong in real life, right? Again, slow down and get your hits. We make jokes about it a lot, but yeah, it's going to be a lot easier to shoot, you know, tiny little groups going slow, but you're not actually illuminating the things that are wrong to get the tiny little groups when you go fast. You demo it in class. You can shoot small groups, you know, holding the gun like shit. You can shoot small groups holding it upside down, pulling the trigger with your pinky. Like, but you can't do it fast. I mean, I've had to take a guy off paper and tell him, I need you to shoot this cadence.
Just like burn it into the berm?
Yeah. Just, and then replicate that because he couldn't get past the target. When he was thinking about the target and saw the target, he couldn't get past what it looked like. And it had to be small holes. And no matter what I said, go faster, it didn't matter. I had to take him off paper, burn it into the berm, see what that speed feels like, and then replicate it on the target. Smack my mic. Replicate it on the target. Do that same speed on the target. And then we're going to start dialing it. Okay, now keep doing that speed over and over. And let's start dialing in on the things that can make you make those hits at that speed. You have to be able to go fast to actually illuminate the things that you're doing wrong.
Yeah, so like, yeah, that's a perfect example. So pressure poses deficiencies in technique, right? And a lot of times people aren't exposed to pressure, which is in this instance,
sure, same like thing,
making them shoot fast,
right?
So what you essentially did is you took Nick's example there and you're like, hey, here's the deal. Drive around this corner at 55 miles an hour, but I want you to drive it at 90. But here's a magical thing. I'm a wizard. And when you fly off the rails and you go into the ditch, your car will never experience any damage and you're never going to get injured. So do it and see what it feels like, right? So we're like, hey, take them off paper. We just kind of did that ourselves for this last recruit class, like day one, because we, you know, like Kyle might have some experience this, like new shooters, they have a flinch response that like sometimes just cannot get over.
Yeah.
So again, take the target completely out of it. We step right up to the berm and there's nothing to aim at. This is an awareness exercise. I don't even care if you close your eyes. I want you to fire the gun and I want you to tell me how that gun feels in your hand. I want you to feel the energy transfer down your arms into your back. I want you to tell me if your toes ever so slightly lift like this when you fire the gun. Like that's a problem. We can't have that, right? So like all these things, just awareness of what's happening. Like that eliminated, like we were shocked at how well just doing that like transferred over to hesitation with the gun. They're like, whatever. I know this thing, like, yeah, it makes noise, but like we can do a lot of stuff with this and it's not going to hurt me or anything. I have ears on, I can just do the thing and not worry about this thing. Right, so it's like an awareness exercise. Take the target out of it. We put bubble wrap around them. If you wreck the car's never actually going to get wrecked. It's like a perfect little car again. We can just pick it back up and put it on the road, and it's like it never happened.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it specifically applies to cops. It seems like that's where I see it the most, where there is, they cannot fail. There is this mentality of I cannot fail. And I get it. 100% get it. But to your point, Jamie, here on the range in practice, yeah, you can go nuts. And I feel like I don't see it as much when we're just doing open enrollment classes, because guys have probably grew up just burning it down into the berm in their backyard and shooting trash piles. And they didn't really know even what failure meant. They were never taught what failure meant. You know, I'm just making expensive noise. This is awesome. And now they're getting into a place where like, okay, I want to make this noise a little bit more pointed. Where, you know, cops, especially to you in you guys' world, where these may be the first time they're handling guns, and they were taught immediately from the outset, you cannot fail. Here's this gun. If you miss, you know, you just shot Becky and her daughter, you know, shopping for clothes in the next. And I, so, you know, I get it, but that, I feel like that's where we run into a lot of roadblocks, and we don't train. I don't train nearly as many cops as you guys do. It's your day job. But I feel like that's where we see the most breakdown, but I still think it applies to guys who, you know, the same mentality, the same, you know, how do I actually isolate and provide pressure to illuminate where the issues are, whether it's just adding a beeper, adding a timer, adding a time stamp to something, I think puts a lot of pressure on guys. Obviously misses is one thing, but even just time can add that pressure.
Man, I think changing that whole like culture of like you brought a cops, right? Like, hey, because they definitely don't want to miss, right? Like all of the quals, like they have to hit a specific thing. The times are never super spicy, right? It's always all about accuracy, accuracy, accuracy. Like they get that stuff drilled into them. However, I think it's like if you shot everything in a really tight group, but it took you 10 minutes to do it, like that's a fail. That's just as much of a fail as a bullet leaving the zone that you're not supposed to shoot.
Well, and the ironic thing is they learn all this. Everything gets drilled into you guys about, yeah, you can never miss. You have to go slow. You have to go. I've never seen an officer involved shooting where they're taking slow, deliberate fire. It's always hammer on the trigger until the magazine's empty. Everyone I've ever seen. I mean, I'm sure there's exceptions, but you know,
guys generally pull the trigger as fast as they can, regardless of whether they have ever trained to do that or not.
Right. Yeah.
So I think we probably ought to train them how to do that.
That seems like the intuitive thing.
Yeah, like that's probably a good thing to do.
That's why I don't get into like teaching dudes trigger prep and stuff, especially cops. It's like, dude, just teach them how to smash the trigger without moving the gun as fast as they possibly can.
If you're good at the one, if you're good at just smashing the trigger, you can always layer in as you get better, layer in trigger prep as you start to understand what your skill level actually is and what targets mean. Layering in trigger prep is always going to be easier than trying to train to that initially, I think.
If you can do something fast, you can do it slow. The inverse is not true.
Exactly. Correct.
I just had this kind of discussion today, and we talk to them about this all the time. Like we start them off like fast. Everything's fast. By day three, then we're like, we're trying to shoot groups at 50 yards. And we are definitely pulling the trigger differently. We try not to use the S word, right? It's not slow. It's just, I don't care what word you use, refined, deliberate, intentional, whatever it is, right? But there's a time and place where we need to modulate that. But like we were talking, somebody, one of the kids asked me today, they're like, hey, sir, when you're shooting, do you like ride the reset right back to the wall? And I said, I don't know. Because my finger moving forward has shit to do with me, with me disrupting alignment. It's backwards that I have the fucking problem with. Right? Like, Nick, you saw him, Morgan, like we filmed him a few times in slow motion doing bill drills. And it's like, all the way through, all the way off, all the way through, back to the wall, all the way through, back off. Like, it just does, like, he's just trying to move his finger as fast as possible. I don't care how far it goes forward. Like, it's irrelevant almost. Like, I don't never think about that. There are times in a stage where I may see a target, like at Nationals, I'm like, oh, that's a 35-yard partial target. I should probably prep my trigger there and be nice and deliberate about that one.
I did the sign of the cross. And prep the trigger.
I was like, ominous, Dominus Nabisco, let's do this thing.
Like Hail Mary, yeah.
But, like, it's not something that we need to get wrapped around the axle and talking about. Like, because, well, like I said, my finger moving forward is not the problem. All my problems are induced when my finger goes backwards and my body does something else. My whole body just blinks. It's like, right?
I think a lot of this came from, 20 years plus being told, like, hey, you cannot shoot, at that type of pace and actually be accountable for your hits. You can't shoot faster than 0.25 splits because you're not going to see anything. Every time I hear that type of stuff, it's like, no, you can't see that fast. Exactly. If I train to be faster, I can see that fast. And it's because I train to be like that, right? Like, if we only train at that, like, 0.25 or higher type of split, it's like, well, yeah, sure, that will be your ceiling then. But I feel like we've been told for, like, so many years, the whole, like, slow down and get your hits thing, or you can't shoot faster than this type of split because you won't see things. And if you're in a real life engagement, bodies drop. And, if you're shooting at a 15, it'd be over their head. And it's like, man, I don't know. I've never been in that situation. However, when I shoot movers, a swinger, if I keep my eyes on the spot, typically the gun tracks to that spot. But I think it's just because we've been told that stuff for so many years. That's why we still see it.
Well, I think to people who don't do it, can't do it, it's essentially magic, right? I mean, and that's what's the saying, like, magic is just something that somebody doesn't understand. But I think it is. I mean, I think they don't, right, they don't understand that this isn't like you took the plug out and you're just pulling the trigger as fast as you can and it's just an automatic thing. You've done it enough that it is an intentional thing. You're pulling the trigger intentionally. You're not just hammering. Well, you are. You see officer-involved shootings where they're hammering on the trigger. It may be just a subconscious, I'm hammering on this trigger. It may not be a conscious effort to pull the trigger. But when you train to it, it's not magic. It's an intentional thing. I'm pulling the trigger at 15 splits. I can stop pulling the trigger just as fast.
But there's a lot of programs that don't have guys who can perform at that level. So essentially, it's magic.
Yeah,
and you have like programs. Exactly, right? I mean, Jamie, what do you think? Like, guys don't understand what's possible till it's demonstrated in front of them. I mean, Nick, I'm sure you have the same experience, right? And until guys see it and understand how it happens, it's essentially magic. And they're like, well, that's not possible, or it's not possible in the way that you understand how shooting works, but I guarantee it is absolutely possible.
Yeah, it is not a circus trick. Like I am definitely a fan of kind of Prank's like philosophy on that. Like, what's possible, or like, what's acceptable, what's good, what's possible. And
who is that? He's not on Instagram anymore, so he's not.
I don't know who that guy is. Was he ever on Instagram? Whatever. But like, again, like that, we don't even know what's possible. We know what's been done.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And when we talk about, like, one of the things we do with our recruits is, like, before we actually get into like aggressive shooting, like, we like to keep metrics on things. So one of the things we have to do is a build drill, like, before we've really trained it, like, where did you start and where did you end up? So after they do it all, we have this discussion with them. Like, what do you think, based on this stuff, what do you think is acceptable for a police officer to do? What do you think is, good? And what do you think is possible? And then we're like, hey, Morgan, come over here. Right. And when you have a guy with that kind of skill, when I look at him and I'm like, hey, dude, I want you to do a 270 build drill. He's like, okay. Like, we bet lunch on it all the time. And I tell him, like, within a 10th, that's the deal. And he's like, okay, beep. Pop, 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 168. Damn, I owe you lunch. I'm like, okay, now I want you to do a 230, right? And now I want you to do a 185, right? Okay. Now, let's see how fast we can go. And they're like, holy shit. Like, yep, like, that's possible. Do you think he was able to shoot a 230 build drill in a spot that big because he, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. You're good.
All right. My AirPods just told me that we're dying. Do you think it's possible that, or it's probable that he shot that, you know, a 2 or 3 inch group at a 230 bill drill because he just shot 230 bill drills all the time? Or do you think he's pushing like a 165, a 158, and he's losing control? Like, what do you think if he can do every day, step up there on demand and run out a 180 bill drill? What do you think 230 looks like and feels like to him? It is doing 40 around the curve.
Well, it'd be like if your goal was to deadlift 500 pounds, right? Like, you wouldn't practice only deadlifting 100.
What?
Right? Maybe to get your technique down. Maybe to get like technique down, you know? But like, at some point you need to start adding weight to that thing. I actually talked to I had someone in a class who was like an Olympic power lifter. And she was telling me that in practice she would deadlift something like 565 or something crazy. And then in the Olympics she would deadlift 500. Like, she would deadlift less when she actually competed. And she deadlifted more during practice because it was like, well, if I could do this here, I could definitely do that there.
So she's working in the realm of in control and out of control. And when it comes to this, when it comes to the Olympic world stage, she's like, I know where this line of in control is. I can do it 100% of the time, all the time, because I have skill.
Yep.
Right?
100%.
Lovely.
And I think, Jamie, that gets back to the beginning of this conversation, which was drill versus test versus whatever. And that's, I think, if you have the right mindset about what a drill can be, which now we're getting into a semantic argument about, if you have the right mindset, is it actually a test? Because I do think, I think using it as a way to track progress on the skills that built that drill, I think it can be useful. So even print off a drill, whatever, and you track what your progress is, if you are mature enough to understand what the skills are and then how to go and break those skills down in practice and then go back and shoot that drill 6 months later and get a new time, I think there is relevance to that. I think that that's perfectly fine. But I think if, again, it just goes back to the kind of the mental capacity to understand what it is that makes that useful, that is the difference between drill culture and actually training to get better.
Yeah, right? It's an assessment to track my metrics to see if I'm on the right path. And like give you a little plug here, Nick. Like, I think the popularity of your style of classes is going to continue to skyrocket. Like, those other styles of classes, right? Like, shoot this thing, get this standard, get this coin, get this stuff, is going to start fading away. Because like, what we need to do is like, teach, I would say teach people how to fish, but Ron Sonson says that's stupid.
You don't need to teach me how to fish. Fishing is easy. You guys still got me?
Yeah. Your AirPods died though.
Uh-oh. Hold on.
It's okay. We can hear you.
Got an issue here.
We can hear you.
I mean, I share his optimism. I think there's always going to be, I think there's there always going to be, you're back.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I'm just going to lead you to the water, right? I got to lead you to the water, and that's where you drink. But the at the end of the day, you got to drink that. Yeah. You know, you can, like, we, I'm not just going to show you over and over and over and over and over. Like, here's a fish, here, I'll catch you another fish, right? Like, teach them the skills to get them to the end goal.
I share your optimism. I think there's always, going to be a group of people who are still chasing coins and chasing accolades. I would like to think that the further they get in and the longer they're exposed to it, they'll start to understand the limitations of what that really offers. It's kind of getting over some ego too, right? I mean, it's an ego boost to go to a class and be the best shooter in that class. It's a lot harder to bury your ego and say, okay, turns out I actually suck at these various things. I can't keep up with these guys who are doing this other thing better. How do I improve, you know, at a granular level and start picking apart what I'm not good at? So I hope you're right, Jamie. I think there's a world where some of that is starting to die, where some of it's starting to be a little bit transparent. Some of the just like, you know, coin chasing and gimmicky stuff, I think it's getting a little bit transparent. But it does take a little bit of fighting ego to get through it.
Well, I think it will die only because of lack of perseverance. Right? Because the person who takes that journey to like every day, every day is like a day to just get slightly better, right? Instead of like, I want to get this patch, right? And it's like, I'm struggling and I'm not doing the things that's going to get me that coin, right? I will eventually quit and lose interest. Yeah. And I fade into the, right? Where like, I don't care about the coin. I just want to keep getting better. Like that will that desire to keep getting better has staying power.
Yeah.
This is that old saying, the man who loves to walk will always go further than the man who loves the destination.
Yeah, there you go.
And I completely agree with it.
Yeah.
When your search to overcome, understand overcomes your desire for a thing to be true, what you see becomes real instead of imagined. It's a Rob Latham-ism.
Okay.
Right? Like, I'm doing it to understand, not because I want it to be, like, I want to do this thing. I'm just on this path to understand.
I agree.
Boom.
Well, for not being involved in the initial text messages, this was a very entertaining conversation.
Yeah. I think this was a banger. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like we've beat this horse enough.
Yeah.
I hope the people got something out of it, at least for the horse's sake.
Yeah.
At least get them thinking, right? Get people thinking. Like, yeah. And there's a lot of like there could be some negative connotation about like, oh, semantics this and semantics that, like whatever. Like, I just want people thinking, right? Thinking about this. Thinking about the walk, not the destination. Mm-hmm. How do we walk this thing?
Well, Jamie, last time you were on, we didn't tell people where they can find you. And so I was getting all these messages for you. Hey, how do I find him? And I was the middleman. So we're actually going to do this. Where can they find you, Jamie?
Whatever. You know, this shit makes me uncomfortable, Nick.
Whatever.
So my public Instagram is at Pistolero Disciple, spreading of performance shooting.
Right? There you go.
Pistolero Disciple.
There. Do not send me a DM asking for Jamie's information. Kyle.
Kyle's laughing because that's exactly how I got in touch with Jamie. Except I think I just texted Nick. I don't think I sent you a DM. I think I just texted. I was like, hey, I got to talk to that guy.
Dude, you're like 1 of 100. That's like hands down still like the most popular episode we've done so far.
It was a good one.
We've had like, dude, I'm telling you, mine and Kyle's relationship started out of this. We talked quite. I just called him the other day. I was like, dude, something happened at work with the recruits. I've got to talk to you about this. Like, it's blowing my mind. So
look at us making connections, Nick.
See that? We're making connections.
You guys are matchmakers. I love it.
That's what we're all about. Kyle, where can people find you?
If they're already hooked up in the PTSG sphere, they can just hit me up on there as Kyle McNabb, but they probably already know that. If you're not there, you can hit me up on Instagram. I have the dumbest name ever. It's Jack Masterson Actual.
Like it. Very good. Guys, I appreciate you guys coming on.
Yeah, this is a good one.
Yeah. Anytime, guys.
All right.
See you next month, Kyle.
All right, bud. Looking forward to it.